Well, excuse me, let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. It's certainly been profitable to be in God's house tonight, hasn't it, already? I won't keep us long tonight. I do want to share what's on my heart this evening. I believe the Lord has prepared our hearts for it. How many comes to the house of God to receive something? Praise the Lord. How many comes to give something to the Lord? Praise the Lord. Those two are tied together. You can remain seated. Our lay speakers and preachers have been ministering, and I started getting a few declines. And I'm going to be speaking this evening, and I want to talk about overcoming. How many knows we are to be overcomers? Overcomers. I want to talk tonight about overcoming discouragement. How many heard Brother Brian a while ago? He said, anyone here ever been discouraged? I don't know if folks just weren't telling the truth or they just didn't want to raise their hand. Let's try that again. How many's ever been discouraged? Okay. Oh, I don't know how that got in there. That's the new grandbaby. Must be a virus getting in my computer program or something. We're going to read, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. These were God's people. These weren't sinners or infidels or backsliders. These were God's people, and it said the people was much discouraged because of the way. Later in Deuteronomy, it says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. And then listen to what he says. Fear not, neither be discouraged. The prophet was telling us, God was telling us through the prophet, we need not be discouraged. Just this morning, early this morning, I was reading a paper, and the more I read, the more discouraged I got. I mean, our sheriff's department is $1 million or two in the hole. Our city budget, it's way behind. Another, plants are closing, serial killings. And I'm not even into baseball, but just that little baseball with the big frown on the front page. It said the Reds lost. That added to it. I mean, just everything in there was discouraging. How many knows what I'm talking about? I believe that for most Christians, discouragement is a constant enemy of a joyful life. Discouragement is a constant enemy of a joyful life. You know, Christians used to talk a lot about overcoming. They liked those verses in first three chapters of Revelation that talked about the overcomer. I still remember Brother Combs almost every time he testified, pray for me that I would be an overcomer. Christians used to talk a lot about overcoming, but now in too many cases we've followed the shift of the world and you don't overcome something, you just learn to live with it. But I believe as a true Christian, Sister Chrisman, we don't just have to live with some things, we can overcome some things. Now I want to ask you, how many wants to be an overcomer? We can overcome discouragement. I believe God intends for us to overcome. You know, the sad thing is we are either overcomers or we are overcome by the thing that we face. You know, sometimes we quote those verses in a generic way about overcoming. We say we're going to overcome. And we mean we're going to overcome the devil. Or we're going to overcome sin. Or we're going to overcome evil. But I think we ought to quote that in a specific way. I want to overcome and then fill in the blank. There are some things to overcome and we need to be specific about it. I mean, maybe you as an individual, you have something different to overcome than I do. But I believe we need to be specific about what we need to overcome. And tonight we're going to be specific and say, we need to overcome discouragement. We need to overcome discouragement. You know, think of the word discourage. We use words and we quit thinking about them. But you see the word courage and discourage? And the word dis before courage means no courage. So to be discouraged is to be have no courage. Well, what's courage? Well, contrary to what a lot of people think, courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is a spirit a person has that they make a stand. It's a spirit they have that enables them in the face of difficulty not to show fear. Courage doesn't mean you have no fear. Courage is to have a spirit in the face of adversity and difficulty where you show no fear. Well, to be discouraged then is to be missing that spirit. It's to not have that spirit where you stand in the face of difficulty and show no fear. And so just let's just use this as a definition tonight. To be discouraged is to lose a spirit. It's to lose the spirit. In fact, the Greek uses the word "ophthalmeo," which simply means no spirit, no desire. I thought of that song, "In the Valley, He Restoreth My Soul." And if you'll remember, one of the verses says, "When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up." Have you ever been low in spirit? Low in spirit. Lord, well, to be low in spirit, that's exactly what discouraged means. It means to have the spirit taken out of you. The New Testament for discouraged uses the word to faint. And when you faint, the strength goes out of you. The life goes out of you. Amen. So you just fall over because something has went out of you. And this is the word the New Testament uses for discouraged, to faint. You know, have you ever had the breath knocked out of you? How many can still remember when you had the breath knocked out of you? You know, that's what it means to be discouraged. Not the breath, but your spirit is knocked out of you. That's an awful feeling to have the wind or your breath knocked out of you. But I'm telling you, spiritually it's bad when your spirit has been knocked out of you. Amen. Low in spirit. You know, let me give an example of discouragement. I'm not giving this talk about myself. It's just to give you an illustration of what I'm discussing here, preaching about. But just this week, there is something that I try very hard to do well and never slack up on in responsibility. And someone insinuated that I did not do that thing well. The very thing I try so hard to do well, it was insinuated that I didn't do it well. Well, you know what happened when that insinuation came? I immediately felt my spirit drain out of me. How many knows that, what I'm talking about? I just felt it leave me. And I started thinking things, well, why even try? If the very thing I'm trying to do, they don't think I'm doing. And I felt that spirit. That's discouragement. When that spirit begins to drain and leave you, that is an example of discouragement. Amen. Now, you see, I used to fish a lot. And when I'm fishing and I've got a lure on there that all the fish are biting, I don't change lures. Makes sense, doesn't it? I've seen some folks, I don't know if they like to fish or change lures. They can have a lure on there and the fish are biting. Well, I'm tired of this one. It's not what you're tired of. It's what the fish are tired of. And they're always changing. But I'm telling you what, if I got a lure, I've got a whole tackle box of lures. I mean, I got a lot of them. But if I got one on there that the fish are hitting, I don't change. I just keep using. Why change when the fish are biting it? Well, you know why the devil keeps using discouragement against Christians? Because it works. It works well. He accomplishes what he wants to accomplish. You know, Satan's not really trying to trip us up with difficult situations. He's trying to get us to have the wrong attitude in difficult situations. Discouragement. And you know, I know how it is. You know, we usually feel like other people shouldn't be discouraged with the things that they're facing. You ever caught yourself doing that? Well, why are they discouraged about that? Come on, just get yourself by the nape of the neck, you know. Why are they discouraged? We always feel like the other person shouldn't be discouraged with what they're discouraged with. But when we're discouraged with something, we think everybody ought to understand why we're blue and down the dumps. Isn't that right? And Satan uses it because it works so well. You know, I'm going to talk just about, and I'm talking about overcoming discouragement, but just briefly, I want to talk about some causes of discouragement. I realize I just misspelled the word there, but you overlooked that. I'm discouraged about my spelling here. You can add to the list, but let's go through this rapidly. First of all, bad news is discouraging. You ever got up whistling and the phone rang? Honey, my engine blew on the way to work. Bad news is discouraging. About family, about friends, about your job, about the nation. Bad news. That's why you need to come to church and get the good news. Bad news is a cause of discouragement. Failure is a cause of discouragement. Now, I am talking about you try real hard to do right and you fail, or you fail at a project, or you fail at a dream. But you know why some folks are discouraged? It's not really the devil's after them. They just haven't been living right and doing right. I promise you, failure will lead to discouragement. That's a cause of discouragement. Even in well-intentioned things, we fail. It brings discouragement. That's for Brother Brian there. Another thing that's discouraging is gossip. I'm telling you one thing. If you want to get discouraged in a hurry, you just find out people's been talking bad about you. You know, usually they find other things to talk about. You know, someone said, I was just talking about you the other day. I said, you must have been awfully bored if that's the only thing you could find to talk about. But how many knows gossip can discourage you? You can be hurt by folks. You can come under attack of people. What a discouragement. Gossip. Another form of discouragement is rejection, or cause betrayal. Amen. In a friendship, in a relationship, you were trying to be friends with someone and they betrayed you, or you were rejected by the group. And I tell you what, discouragement can be heaped on when you experience rejection. Another cause of discouragement is sickness. I don't know what your experience has been, but I have never felt too much spiritual when I've had a stomach virus. How many just ever felt really spiritual when you had a stomach virus? Sickness can be discouraging. I'm telling you what, you start getting older, it can be discouraging. You discover new pains every day. No one's there yet, but you... Amen. Ever felt like that? Another cause of discouragement is bills. You ought to hear a lot of hallelujahs here. You go out to the mailbox. Things are going pretty good. You're whistling. Open the letter. First of all, before you open, you see it. Watch this. And your heart starts falling. And you open up and it's an unexpected bill. You know, I think there's as many unexpected bills as there are expected ones. How many knows bills, financial trouble, can be discouraging? Another cause of discouragement is loss. Loss of a job, loss of a friend, loss of many things. It can be even a car. Loss can cause discouragement. I think a big cause of discouragement today is folks live with no purpose. It's a discouraging. That's why so many folks decline so rapidly after they retire. They've lost their purpose. And this world, it doesn't see any purpose. It's bad to lose your purpose. Now, that's one thing the devil will try to do. You've got a purpose, but he'll try to convince you you don't. Let me read just a little bit of this one poem. I have taught a class for many years, bore many burdens, toiled with tears, but folk don't notice me a bit. I'm so discouraged, I'll just quit. Some time ago, I joined the choir that souls I might inspire. But folks don't seem to be moved a bit. So what's the use to sing? I'll just quit. Christ's cause is hindered everywhere, and folks are dying in despair. The reason why? Just list a bit. The church is full of folks who quit. You see, folks, I've seen it over and over in the pastoring, folks are doing something for God, they're ministering, they're serving, but the devil will come along and say, there's no purpose in what you do, you're not doing anything, and so they start quitting. We got to move forward. Another cause of discouragement is weariness. I'm telling you what, we overwork ourselves, we fill our schedule so full, we have no downtime, we have no solitude time, we have no private time, no time with our family, and we're just worn out. I'm telling you one thing, it is easy to get discouraged when you're worn out. How many knows that's the truth? Another cause of discouragement is loneliness. You can be in a crowd and still feel lonely. Another cause of discouragement, I missed a slide there, is frustration. Anyone ever been frustrated? I probably should have put an example of road rage in here. That's pretty discouraging. You're in a hurry, the speed limit's 55 miles an hour. Someone in front of you is going 25. You can add to the list frustration. Discouragement comes when we insist on having our own way. That's Oswald Chambers, a great man of God. Discouragement comes when we insist on having our own way. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferreth maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. When your hopes and your plans are deferred, it makes you frustrated, which makes you discouraged. Now quickly tonight, I want to leave it. I want to be of help on Wednesday night, but quickly I want to talk about how to overcome discouragement. And I pray you'll take this to heart. First of all, if you're fighting discouragement, first of all, pray to God, telling Him just how you feel. I'm glad we can talk to God. You know, the sad thing is God's usually the last person we go to and say we're discouraged. We tell our coworkers, we tell family members, and that's all right. But I'm telling you, we ought to tell God, pray to God, telling Him just how you feel. I know He knows it, but you say, listen, God, I want you to hear it from me. I am discouraged. I am depressed. I need help. Jesus said, He spake a parable to them to this end. And this is what He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And remember, faint is a New Testament word for discouraged. And so Jesus said you ought to pray and not be discouraged. You may be discouraged, but there's something about it. When you start praying to God about it, something will start happening in your heart. Secondly, how to overcome discouragement? Pray to God, telling Him how you feel. Secondly, persist in doing the right things. I wish I could get this through to folks. It'll help you overcome discouragement. When you are discouraged, you don't feel like doing the right things. But what you need to do is to do the right things that you might overcome the discouragement. I've talked to people in great crises, and I don't minimize their crises in the least. But the worst thing you can do is to quit doing the right things, fulfilling your responsibility. I'm thinking of one lady who was going through a great crisis and got so discouraged, she just said, I just can't get out of bed in the morning. I'm just going to quit my job. I begged her. I said, it's the worst thing you can do. Take a few days off if you need to, but don't quit your job. Keep your job. Do the right things. I've never understood this. Folks have disappeared from church for a few services. I call them up and say, this is Pastor Hurst. I'm concerned. I haven't seen you in church. Oh, Pastor, I was discouraged. So I didn't come to church. Listen, if there's any time you need to come to church, it's when you're discouraged. Do the right things. I think of times when I have faced a tremendous discouragement. And I know that's a shock to you that a pastor could get discouraged. I didn't mean to tell on myself, but I'll tell you the one thing that's taken me through. I've got a routine in the morning of trying to seek the Lord. And no matter how late it is or how discouraged, I've made up my mind, I'm going to have that routine. And it's helped me out of many a time. I remember one time I got up anyway, got over here, and there was a message on the answer machine. It said, Pastor Hurst, I know you'll be in the office in a few minutes, and I just want to read this scripture to you and tell you that God is for you. Amen. It means do the right things. Amen. If you're discouraged, don't quit doing right. I've seen folks start living wrong and living in the world, you go to them and say, well, what's wrong? Well, I'm discouraged. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm telling you, if you're discouraged, the best thing you can do is persist in doing the right thing. You don't feel like worship, worship. You don't feel like praying, pray. You don't feel like reading the Bible, read it. You don't feel like going, go to church. I'm talking about overcoming discouragement. Persist in doing the right things. And then perceive the bigger picture. You know, usually we're discouraged just because we're focused on the little world inside of us. I was talking to someone the other day. But what percentage of the people of the world am I? About 1/600 billionth or 6 billionth, about 1/6 billionth. If I focus just on myself, I'm focusing on a very small fragment of existence. When you're discouraged, you have chosen to live in one of those little office cubicles to stay right there. You see, that's the way the devil works. He gets us to only look at, number one, he gets us just to look at our own little self. And number two, he gets us to look at only right here, right now. I'm telling you, if you're discouraged, you need to perceive the bigger picture. There's more going on than what's just going on in my life. And besides that, today is not all there is. He holds tomorrow. There's a future. God's got a plan. God, look at the bigger scheme of things. I'm looking at the little thing, Brother Rose, that bogs me down right here today. But God's got a plan for tomorrow, and it's a wonderful plan. The path of the justice is a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter into the perfect. How many believe the best is yet to come? The devil keeps us discouraged because he keeps us focused on the little narrow world of our inner being and keeps us focused on right here today, and we just find ourselves wallowing in that. But we need to perceive the bigger picture. Jesus is coming back. There's heaven ahead. There's great things happening in the kingdom of God. Perceive the bigger picture. Mary was having a lot of trouble. She came home and threw herself down on the couch. Her mom was in there, and her little brother was playing with something. He was that young. And she began to say, "I can't believe what I'm going through." She said, "Nobody loves me and everybody hates me." And her little brother spoke up and said, "Oh, Mary, everybody don't hate you." She said, "That's sweet." He went on to say, "Because not everybody knows you." How many knows when you're discouraged, there's always someone to encourage you? But the truth of the matter is to get focused in on self. Next of all, to overcome discouragement, we pray to God, tell Him how we feel. We persist in doing the right things. We perceive the bigger picture. And we provide for the needs of body, soul, and spirit. I know it sounds unromantic, but some folks could cure a lot of their discouragement if they just get some exercise. Why? Because it's taking care of the body. And our body, soul, and spirit are interrelated. That's why it's hard to feel spiritual when you're sick. Something's wrong with your body. And I'm not here, I'm not into this diet and exercise stuff. I'm just preaching the truth tonight. If you want to overcome discouragement, you have to provide for the needs of your body. You have to eat well. Some folks are discouraged a lot. They go through great emotional, and they want to blame it all on the spiritual battle. But a lot of times they just haven't been eating right. You know what I'm trying to say? You got to provide for your body. To overcome, you got to provide for your soul. What's the soul? I mean, that's your personality. That's your the real you. And how do you provide for that? You sometimes your soul needs to follow its interests. I'm not talking about worldly things. I'm just saying you got to have a hobby or something. You got to have downtime. You've got to have time where you just do something for the enjoyment of it. Provide for your soul and then provide for your spirit. If you're discouraged, you need things like gospel music. You need to get away and pray. You need to read a devotional book, a missionary biography. You need to read the Word of God. Even some folks are discouraged because they're not providing for their needs of the body, soul, and spirit. How many thinks your spirit needs a steady diet of television shows, prime time? Do you feel like your spirit needs a steady diet of the gossip on the internet? No. And so you can keep pumping that stuff into your spirit and you'll stay discouraged. But if you'll provide the right kind of things, just like your body needs the right diet, you provide the right things for your spirit and your soul, you can overcome the discouragement. And then we need to proclaim and claim the promises of God. You've heard me tell it, I'm sure, many times before, but it's one of the stories I love about Martin Luther. He had extreme bouts of discouragement. Now, I'm telling you this not to discourage you if you're discouraged, but some of the greatest men of God you've ever heard from church history faced great bouts of discouragement. How many knows that to be the truth? Even John the Baptist, Brother Keith, he started out once he got in that hole of prison. Martin Luther had great bouts of depression. One day he came downstairs in the morning. His wife was dressed all in black. You know how used to when someone died, they'd wear all black. She was dressed all in black. He looked up and said, "Who died?" She was, whatever they did, knitting or whatever, and she didn't even look up. She said, "Oh, God did. I dressed in black because God died." Martin Luther said, "That's the silliest thing I ever heard, woman. God didn't die." She said, "Well, you're acting like he did. So I went and got dressed in black because you're acting like..." She said, if he didn't die, she told her husband, "Quit acting like it." I'm telling you, we get discouraged. We would never say those words, "God died," but we're kind of acting like it. How many knows that there is a promise for everything that is discouraging us? If loneliness is discouraging me, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If financial needs are discouraging you, he said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory." If problems are discouraging you, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm telling you, this book is full of promises that address the thing that would discourage us. And what we need to do to overcome a discouragement is, when the discouraging thing happens, begin to claim the promises of God. He's going to see me through. Amen. Brother Brian had us to say, "God is for me." Was that it? Amen. That's the promise. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. In all these things, God's going to give us the victory through Christ. Amen. How to overcome discouragement? Push back against the discouragement. You know, some folks think that resisting the devil is you just feel his presence bothering you in prayer and you say, "I rebuke you, Satan." But to resist the devil is to resist the things that he comes against us with. And we feel the discouragement coming. Why don't you just say it like you would to the devil himself? "I resist you, discouragement." Push back against it. Don't just say, "Oh, here it comes, here it comes. I just might as well just receive it." You're to receive blessings. You're not to receive the things of the enemy. Push back. Say no to it. Rebuke the enemy. Hallelujah. Overcome discouragement. Amen. Push back against it. And last of all tonight, to overcome discouragement, purpose doing something for another. Even secular psychologists will tell you this. If you're discouraged, find someone with a need, someone else with a need, and seek to meet it. I remember years ago, I was going through one of Martin Luther's bouts of discouragement. And I was thinking of folks I need to get by and see. How many remember Sister Daisy and Sister Beulah, the two little sisters? They lived down there in Drexel. And I said, "Well, I'll get by and see them." And I'll tell you what, when I went by to see them, they had a chair here and a chair here, and there's a hassock in between. And they'd make me sit on that hassock right between them. And both of them would talk to me at the same time. And if I looked at this one, the other would start pulling on my... And I'm just going like this, you know. And, they like to pray. And we got to praying. I can hear them right now praying. Oh, they were getting excited about Jesus and praying. And I went there to try to encourage them. Their health was bad and they weren't able to come to church, but I'm telling you, they got to praying. I'm telling you what, when I left, my spirit was soaring again. It's just made like that. You want to overcome discouragement? Purpose doing something for someone else. Hallelujah. David was greatly distressed, the scripture said, for the people spake of stoning him. I think that's a understatement. If you heard folks were thinking about stoning you, wouldn't you be greatly distressed? The soul of the people was grieved, and every man for his sons or his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The Hebrew word for encouragement, he got a hold of God. But our word, encouragement, just like discourage means no courage to take the spirit out, our word encourage means to put the spirit in. And I want to tell you, our God, if we're willing to overcome, he is able to put the spirit in us. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, that's part of it, but I'm talking about that spirit of life and vitality and joy. Amen. Our God can do it. You know, there's a time praying through wasn't just getting things right. Praying through was a way to get through the discouragement and the attack of Satan. I still believe we can pray through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can put the spirit back in you. I had a friend that never got discouraged in the many, many years that I've known him until about last October or November, became very discouraged. I worried greatly about him. Talked with him over the months, time after time. Just it wasn't him to get discouraged. About 2 weeks ago, though, God gave him great victory. And when he called me on a Monday morning to tell me, I could tell when I answered the phone the difference, the way he was talking. And he began to say, I'm writing books again. I'm looking forward to preaching again. I'm excited. I'm dreaming again. What happened? He had been discouraged, but God put the spirit back in him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we can overcome discouragement. Would you stand, music? Would you come? Hallelujah. I just think we need to start proclaiming and claiming the promises of God. I don't know your need tonight, but I want you to try to think of a promise of God right now that addresses that need. Can we lift our hands and thank Him? Hallelujah. Would you praise Him? I'm telling you, we can be overcomers. I said we can be overcomers. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your people. God, help us to overcome. Lord, we know that we have an enemy, and the enemy knows what works against us, but he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. And I pray, Lord, You'd help somebody right now, Lord, even as we pray, You would help them, Lord, put the spirit in them. God, give them the joy again. Give them the vitality of spiritual life again. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe yours tonight wasn't discouragement, but if you want to be an overcomer, would you come and fill this altar tonight and say, oh God, if You help me, I intend on being an overcomer in all things. Would you just come and fill the altar tonight and say, oh God, I want to be an overcomer. As you come, you know that thing that the enemy's brought against you. You know what it is. But you come tonight saying, I am going to overcome. With the help and the grace of God, I'm going to overcome.